Hey, the NHL Stadium Series at MetLife this weekend. You got tomorrow, you got the Flyers, Devils, that's at 8 Eastern. Then Sunday, it's the Rangers and the Isles, that's at 3 Eastern. You can see it all on ABC and ESPN.
Let's do that hockey.
Hey, welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live here at the Seaport. It's brought to you by Chase. We got Groz, we got Les, we got Mike T, we got Bartholomew. And we start with a milestone in college hoops, and it is your wake-up call. Caitlin Clark making history last night.
Recovered by Gabby Marshall. Here comes Clark. How will she go for history? In women's college basketball. Wow. In only ways that Caitlin can.
Caitlin Clark put up 49 last night. She entered the season 810 points behind Kelsey Plum. The NCAA scoring record chased her down thanks to averaging 32 a game, the most by any woman in the last 30 years, folks. And now she'll look to break Pete Maravich's record for the most points scored by any D1 player. That's all time. She is just 98 points away from that milestone. Got legs here with me. Time for the game of the night, and it was the Warriors and the Jazz. You know, Klay Thompson came off the bench. First time since his rookie season. That was 2012 legs. Third quarter, Warriors were up 13, and Klay took over. It was like Splash Brothers all over again, raining three.
Found his rhythm. And look, it's still in there. He just has to see some shots go through earlier in the game, and you got a problem on your hands. If you're Utah, he was good all night.
Yo, man, look at here. Off the screen, knocking it down. Look, the Warriors were rolling at this point. Klay at 35, 7 three-pointers in here. They were up 18. But let's get to the fourth quarter, Lex, because they almost threw it away. Here, Larry Markkanen misses the three. John Collins doesn't with the follow. Jazz are down just one. 10 seconds to play. Markkanen misses. Collins gets the rebound. But he throws it away.
Yeah, he just turned, panicked a little bit, put a little too much on that, and it goes about 8 rows up the stands.
All right, Jazz down three. Colin Sexton chance to tie it. It's no good. The Warriors win it 140 to 137. So now Golden State goes into the All-Star break, 8-2 over their last 10 games. They had found something, though, with Klay coming off the bench. You know, yesterday his 35, 13 made baskets, both a season high for Klay. 18 of that 35 came in the third quarter, which was also the most points scored in a quarter for him this season. And I guess it begs the question here, Legs, does Klay coming off the bench, does that improve the Warriors now?
I think it does. I think right now you need to unlock Klay Thompson, whatever that's going to take. And you got to get out of your comfort zone sometimes. I give him a lot of credit for embracing this because clearly last night he was in the right frame of mind. And that's not an easy thing for a guy to accept, but that's what they did for Klay Thompson. And look, I also like the flow a little bit better right now at the start of the game with Pajemski. It's just a different feel to their offense, and they're not just focused on getting Klay Thompson going and getting some slow starts. I don't know that this is permanent, but I do think right now this is the best thing for the Warriors, and it's certainly the best thing for Klay Thompson if he embraces it. He can do more in fewer minutes and be better while he's doing it, and it certainly saw that last night.
Okay, so then are you buying the Warriors now back as title contender?
I wouldn't put him as a title contender. I definitely think they'd be a scary team for anybody to have to play. I just don't think they're big enough. I don't think they've got quite enough depth on this team. I do see some things trending in the right direction. There's no doubt they have played better over the last 2 weeks. Their pace is better. They're more consistent right now offensively what they're doing. You've had some guys start to find their career norms, which you had too many guys on this team playing below their career standards besides Steph Curry. More and more guys are starting to creep toward that line now. That's been a great thing for the Warriors. So it's been better. Mm-hmm. But you look at the gauntlet at the top of the Western Conference is, and to think that the Golden State Warriors are going to be able to run through that and we put them contender, that means to me you're saying conference final or better. Or else you're not really a contender.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can say that about the Golden State Warriors. They're just a very scary team for anybody to have to deal with in a 7-game series.
Yeah, right now they're living in play-in type stuff, being their ninth in the West. Let's talk some football, and it's back to the NFL. And, of course, with the offseason in full swing, all eyes are on that quarterback position. So let's dive into some QB questions. Mike T, will Dak's extension, you think, get done this offseason?
I do, and this is an unusual situation, Brian, because Jerry Jones could actually spend himself out of cap issues, which sounds counterintuitive, but if you think about CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, and most importantly, Dak, big signing bonuses over multiple years, lower the cap numbers. It's a way to keep all three together.
Dan, where will Justin Fields play, you think, in 2024?
I keep going back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's a good fit with him and the new offensive coordinator there, Arthur Smith. I think good, stable coaching situation there with Mike Tomlin. He's an exciting player that I think would give them something at the quarterback position they haven't had since the last time Ben Roethlisberger was playing at a high level. So Pittsburgh, to me, keeps jumping out as the team that makes the most sense for Justin Fields.
Bart, this is an interesting one because you know Denver doesn't want him there anymore. Where will Russell Wilson play in 2024?
Well, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers is the perfect place. You talk about they need a good quarterback last year, you know, going all the way down to Mason Rudolph. You know, if they have a guy like Russell Wilson who had a better year than he had before, but not a lot will be asked of him. He's a veteran. He had the Steelers on his list before. Mike Tomlin is a guy that can coach his butt off. We understand, you know, they just need a little bit better play than they had last year. But that defense and that run game and Arthur Smith, they should be able to put something together so that they can be able to be a contender for the division, which somehow they always are. Tomlin, Thomas's ways into contention. And with Russell Wilson just playing a little bit better, taking care of the football, and making high quality, high percentage decisions, I think they can be right in it with anybody.
I hear what you're saying, but I want you to take a listen to something because Tim Hasselbeck was on the show yesterday. He shared a different thought about Russell Wilson's future.
Listen, I think there's a chance Russell Wilson is out of football. Like, I'm not sure that there's definitely a landing spot for him. He's older. I think that it's fair to say that his game is diminished. I think in terms of, you know, the leadership component that you typically want from a veteran quarterback that comes in, I think it's fair to have questions about that.
That's interesting, Roz.
No, I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah. What do you think? He's saying he could be out of the league.
You get him for free.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Tim. I think this is within the realm of possibilities. I do. I don't see how he's going to be anybody's top choice. Denver's about to pay him $39 million to go away. You posted a number 21 overall QBR season in an offense that was specifically designed to do no harm, right? Like, that was the best Sean Payton could do with him, was like, let's just protect the ball and not get ourselves killed out there. So I think it's certainly possible that he signs somewhere, but he's also not at a point in his career where he has to take any old job, right? Like, he's made his money. He's going to make $39 million this year no matter what. I'm with Hasselbeck. I think there's a chance that he ends up not signing.
Yeah, I see it totally differently, and here's why. So the $39 million is offset, meaning that all the team has to do is pay him the minimum. So call it $1 million.
Yeah.
I think there'll be teams lined up around the corner. Now, whether or not Russell Wilson wants to play,
that's what I'm saying,
and the love of football, we're gonna find out. But earlier we talked about Baker Mayfield reviving his career in Tampa, and now he's set up to do real well in free agency. If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm walking to Pittsburgh and saying, hey, Coach Tomlin, I'm your starting quarterback. I'll pay for $1 million. Denver will pay me 38, and I'm going to resurrect my career with Arthur Smith. And if Russell Wilson doesn't want to play, no one's going to blame him. He's had a great career, got paid well. But if I'm him, this is an opportunity to revive what was once a really good career.
He's 36 years old, right? He's not even 36 yet, right? He's not going out like that.
Yep.
He got too much pride. I'm not going out like that. I know if I play with the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going to have an opportunity because I have a great coach. I have a strong running game. I have a cultural out there. And listen, Sean Payton didn't want him at all. I think he'll come there and there will be a godsend because he's an upgrade. Sean Payton was trying to figure out a way to get out of that contract. I don't think it's nothing that Russell Wilson could have done that would have want him to be able to eat that type of salary cap. I think he wanted a hard reset and be able to build with a quarterback that he knows. And now, like, Russell Wilson has the opportunity to go play, and he's going to be attractive because he's cheap. And Pittsburgh is in need in a division that has some of the best quarterbacks in football, just one that can do a little bit more than what Kenny Pickett offers.
We get the sense that we'll find out this season whether or not Russell Wilson loves football. Because whether
he's getting his money, he's getting $39 million.
Or if he's going to really take a position that suits him, don't you think Atlanta would be the spot? Because his wife from Atlanta, all kind of music there.
Atlanta might not want him. Why would Atlanta want him? Like, I think, you know, the possibility, you want a long-term solution for a young coach in Raheem Morris. You want somebody to be able to come in that's going to be there for a while. Russell Wilson is a stopgap quarterback. perfect situation for Pittsburgh as they continue to try and build that roster and try and win. Atlanta needs somebody that they can count on for the duration, and Ridder isn't it. So if he doesn't play well, then you find yourself in the market again, and maybe Justin Fields is signed in Pittsburgh, and now you don't have an opportunity to upgrade your quarterback.
Hey, Brian, if Russell Wilson was sitting right here, and this is why I disagree with Groz and Tim Hasselbeck, and we said, Russell, what do you want to be known for? Like, you want to be a Hall of Famer? Like, to Bart's point, he does not want to go out the way he did last year, and money shouldn't matter because he's getting $39 million. And that's why if I'm him, I'm going to the combine, I'm going to sit down with Mike Tomlin, I'm getting the deal done, and let's go. And then go draft my replacement. But that's the play he needs to run if he wants his legacy to be different than what it is right now.
And I still think there's a possibility that come September, he is, in fact, sitting right there.
Oh, get up. Is it right here? Sitting so talking the topics.
Yeah. Making $39
million. $39 million. It's a good job if you can get it. All right, coming up with NFL free agency rapidly approaching, we're making some deals. Mike T has 3 blockbuster trades. You need to see these to believe them.
Plus, let's go.
After failing to make a splash for LeBron James at the deadline, Steph and the Warriors, are they better off? And can LeBron make one last title run in L.A.? We'll discuss. It's Get Up here on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, check out Tiger Woods, his return to the PGA Tour, up and down day on the 18th.
I've done that.
Looks like I've
done that.
Tour. 4!
Yeah.
Just a slight slice.
Hey, except I couldn't do this.
No, yeah, exactly. He does finish his one over in his first PGA Tour, basically record round since last year's Masters. What are your thoughts there on what you saw at the Tiger in the first round?
Well, the fact that I jack up the greens all the time, I have no way. I am not qualified to comment on anything Tiger Woods.
Mike T?
Look, I mean, he recovered well. He got off the tee well. But, you know, I think there's a lot of us watching that saying, like, we could relate to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Leaders at 7 under. He's 1 over, Groz.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to see him playing again. I think the question with him is just going to continue to be endurance, right? Like, can he get through the whole weekend? Can he play a couple tournaments a year? But it is fun when he plays.
Of course, he had the ankle fuse, so let's see what he does there at the Genesis, because it is his old tournament. All right, back here on Get Up, and it's time for a new segment we call Trader Mike's. All right, Mike T, give us the first trade you got for us.
This one's easy, guys. Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second-round pick. This is a win-win. He is a young, talented quarterback that has not been in a great situation. He's taken too many sacks. But you get him with Mike Tomlin, who, as Bart said, just somehow makes the playoffs every year. with a new coordinator in Arthur Smith. I think this is a win-win for both teams.
All right, Grodz, what do you think?
It makes a lot of sense. We've been talking about Justin Fields and the Steelers all morning. I agree with it as a good spot for him. And, frankly, the Steelers owe the Bears a favor after the Bears just gave him a second-round pick for Chase Claypool last year. That was pretty much a one-sided mess of a deal.
Listening to you last segment, Bart, you say you like the trade but not to that team.
Yeah, I like it to the Atlanta Falcons. But, listen, I wouldn't be upset. I think it would be a good play by Pittsburgh to only give up a second-round draft pick, because when you think about it, who are you going to get in the second round that's going to have the impact that Justin Fields will do, especially being that young and still being under control for the next 2 years? But if I'm Atlanta, I'll stay over my dead body. So who's willing to sweeten the pot enough to be able to entice, you know, the Bears to say, okay, we'll send them here?
All right, Mike T, I'm all in on this next one, because Cowboy fans, listen up. Mike T,
are you including
give me,
that?
Give me trade number two.
Brian, this is win-win. Brandon Cooks going from Dallas to the New York Jets and C.J. Mosley going from the Jets to the Cowboys.
Hell no.
This really works well for both teams. Look, the Jets need outside speed outside of Garrett Wilson with Aaron Rodgers coming back. They have depth in their front seven. The Cowboys desperately need size and speed at middle linebacker.
I love it.
I think Leighton Vander Esch.
A leader in the locker room.
Absolutely. All those things. This is really going to help both teams.
Why would the Jets do that? That is the leader. That's their captain. That's Captain Kirk right there. For Brandon Cooks, I'll give you that for CeeDee Lamb. But I'm not giving Brandon, listen, Brandon Cook going to be
How are you going to score if you're the Jets?
Brandon Cook's going to be available anyway. You know how many free agent receivers are out there for me to go ahead and get? You think I'm going to give up my leader for somebody that's there? Nah, man, this dude, he's been on 20 teams for a reason.
Who?
Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a good player, but
he's forced touchdowns.
I'm not giving up my captain when I can go get Ridley. I can go get, you know, Gabe Davis. You know, Garrett Wilson is number one. Or I'm trying to trade for I'll give the Raiders C.J. Mosley for Devontae Adams, but I'm not doing that for you. I need a higher end guy than Brandon Cooks.
All right, Mike T, give us the last trade here.
All right, just hang in there for a second.
Okay.
I'm trading Deshaun Watson and a second round pick to the New York Giants for Daniel Jones. And hear me out. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you have Dorian Thompson-Robinson, you have Joe Flacco, and now a 27-year-old Daniel Jones who has 1 year left of guaranteed money for $36 million and an enormous amount of flexibility moving forward. And if you're the Giants, you're getting Deshaun Watson, who's 29, who's making $46 million a year for the next 3 years and a second-round pick. And to me, you need a frontline difference-making quarterback. Because, Bart, right now, if you're the Giants, how in the world do you win the NFC when you have to beat San Francisco, Green Bay, Dallas, Philly, and Detroit?
With Daniel Jones, right.
Yeah, with Daniel Jones. So, to me, Deshaun Watson hasn't played well the last couple of years, but he has a high upside, and he's only 29 years old.
So.
Who says no?
Giants is who?
But first
of all, because if the, you got Daniel Jones for $34 million or whatever next year, guaranteed.
Massage parlors are in New York.
If Daniel Jones can't, let's keep it to football. If Daniel Jones can't play, then you're out of it after this year. If Deshaun Watson can't play, then you have 2 more years after this year of guaranteed $46 million salaries. You are screwed.
Daniel Jones may not be the only one out after this year if they don't win.
If I'm Cleveland,
what have we seen from Deshaun Watson? The 2020 was the last time he was a difference-making quarterback.
Okay, so Daniel Jones has gotten destroyed in this division. Sacked, hit. He got a bad neck, bad back. What do you got? What's the lower extremities? What he hurt this year? The knee,
ACL.
And I'm gonna make him play the Baltimore Ravens. I'm gonna make him play.
But you also have Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
But he got a bad neck.
I think Cleveland would do this in a heartbeat.
Daniel Jones, listen, the most physical division in all of football. You're going to send Daniel Jones there.
If Andrew Berry can trade Deshaun Watson
this
offseason, they should put him in a Hall of Fame.
And we've seen that before. We saw Brock Osweiler get traded with a second-round pick for cap room. This is a little bit of a different variation. All I'm saying is, if you're the Browns last year, you went to the playoffs with three different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All I'm saying, you have depth with Dorian Thompson-Robinson, a really good young quarterback. Joe Flacco, who was the comeback player of the year.
You're going to use them all.
Jones.
Again, you don't have to sell me on it from the Browns end.
You're right.
I think it's the Giants that would not do this for a number of reasons, but actually the football and the finances being the most prominent.
So if you're the New York Giants, how do you win the division? Who are you winning the division with?
That's interesting because you beg the question.
I'm drafting a quarterback.
Do they need to move on from Daniel Jones?
Yes. Listen, this was a four-year deal, but it's really a two-year deal. So right. They can get out of that. So why would I can be out of that pain before. Why would I come on and take that type of salary cap that's guaranteed when I can be out of the Daniel Jones sweepstakes in just next year?
They're going to year three in New York. This is a huge year for the New York Giants, for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. How do
they've already won a playoff game. They're not winning the division. It's not their time. They still have to do some program building.
But don't you think Joe Shane and those guys need to shake the thing a bit? If they don't win this season, I mean, it's tight on you. You know how New York is.
But they won a playoff game just a season ago.
Giant fans are like, when was that? It feels like 2-3 years ago.
The last team that won anything with Deshaun Watson was Clemson. I'm sorry. Like, how is Deshaun Watson the answer right now?
He hasn't looked good.
We haven't seen it in 3-4 years.
Listen, the Giants do a better job in trading for Justin Fields. If that's what we're doing, if we're moving on for Daniel Jones, let's go get Justin Fields.
Part of the analysis, guys, if it's not Deshaun Watson and we all think it's not Daniel Jones, who is it going to be for the Giants?
I'd rather have that question and be able to try to address it in the draft than face the prospect of three guaranteed $46 million seasons for a quarterback that, frankly, hasn't played well since there was a global pandemic and no fans in the stands. How long ago does that seem like?
Where they're drafting, though, they're really in no man's land because those top three quarterbacks will be off. Now you say, do you want J.J. McCarthy or Deshaun Watson? Do you want Bo Nix, Michael Penix?
I'd rather take Penix in the second round because you have the extra pick for the Leonard Williams trade and see if I can develop a project knowing that, you know, Daniel Jones is only going to be there for one more year and now I can let a guy like Penix or who's the kid from Florida State? You can draft him in the second round and let him sit for
you. And then if Jones plays well, you still got him two more years at a pretty good cost. Yeah. I think
Who's the kid in Florida State? Who's the kid in Florida State?
Who hurt his leg?
Yeah. I'll draft him and give him a gap year, give him a redshirt year. And be able to develop behind Daniel Jones.
But again, Deshaun Watson's only 29 years old. So if he could get back to where he was,
he hasn't played well
since 26. And by the way, at $46 million a year, the context of where the market is now, it's actually that's the appropriate salary.
No flexibility, nothing. I don't know. To be stuck with guaranteed $46 million and you're not sure the guy can help you, that's tough.
If Cleveland would do that in a heartbeat, then you got to ask yourself, what are you doing? If they're willing to do it, absolutely.
They played better with Flacco.
Well, that's my point. If I'm Cleveland, I'm trading Deshaun Watson and a draft choice.
I agree.
To get the cap flexibility.
Since we were talking about the Giants, let's keep it in Jersey. I want you guys to check out this eye candy from College Hoops. 2.3 seconds left. Mama Xander Rice gets the inbounds and banked the three to win it.
Did he call bank?
Yeah, I think he did. I know he called game. I know he called game, and Mommin gets the win. I love that. That's a good win there. How about that?
That is a great moment.
That's
what college sports are all about.
You know what I mean? And March Madness is right around the corner. All right, when we come back, NFL rosters being reset, three QBs that could reshape the league. The big question is, who do you trust most? We got the answer when we come back.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NBA created the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Social Justice Champion Award. Abdul-Jabbar has long been committed to using his influence to engage on social issues to promote equality and fight discrimination. And in 2016, Kareem was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor.
Back here on Get Up, let's take a look at the upset of the night. You know, the Bucks were 14.5-point favorites over the Grizz on Wednesday night. Giannis, Dame taking on Memphis. Let's get to the fourth quarter. Giannis spinning, winning. Bucks are up 2. This game was tied up at 98. 3 minutes ago, G.G. Jackson knocking down the 3. Grizz, they're up now. 104-102. Next Grizzly possession. Zonte Aldama throwing it up. Zaire Williams throwing it down. And the foul. Makes the free throw. Memphis up 6 at this point. Under 40 seconds to play. Dame Lillard kicks it to Malik Beasley. He knocks down that 3. Now it's just a one possession game. And look, Dame has it taken away. Brook Lopez recovers. Back to Dame. The heave. The tie. No good. How about the Grizzlies? They win it 113-110. Giannis at 35-12. Here's Doc Rivers after the game.
First play, we gamble for the 50th time in the corner. Guy drives. We have to help. Leads to a 3. We come back in this on our set. Two guys forget what we're running. Then we miss the shot, and then nobody gets back. That's how we start out the third quarter. That tells you all you need to know about where our heads were. We had some guys here, and we had some guys in Cabo.
Wow. Bucks were just 3 games back of the Celtics for first in the Eastern Conference, you know, when Doc took over. Now they're 8.5 back. Thanks to going 3-7 under Doc, they're even worse with Doc at just 1-3 against teams with a losing record. All right, so let's run the floor. Legs is here with me. Let's stay in Milwaukee. Did the Bucks make a mistake, you think, hiring Doc Rivers?
I think they made a mistake making a move for any coach the way that they did it at that time of the year. I think that's something you can evaluate Adrian Griffin's first playoff run and see what happens. And if you just don't think he's the right guy, maybe you make that change over the summer, in the offseason. To bring a coach in on the fly that deep into the season, very difficult for him to implement what he wants and to make real schematic changes. The best he can do is give him a stronger voice and maybe change rotation a little bit. But the impact, I think, is going to be lessened when you join a team that deep into the season.
All right, let's stay in the East. How about the Knicks? Are they Eastern contender?
Yeah, I think they're a contender. Look, right now they're decimated with injuries, so this losing streak I think is an anomaly of what they're going to be. You got to get Julius Randle back, and then you've got to get some of these other guys that are banged up. And then let's see, with the new pieces that you got, Burks and Bogdanovich that you acquired at the deadline, OG Anunoby, who didn't have a lot of time there but showed his impact before he went down with an injury. Once this team is at full strength, this might be the deepest legitimate rotation we have in the Eastern Conference. So, yes, they're a contender built around a star player made for the stage.
All right. I know they're 9-10 in the West. Who's closer to a title? Is it the Lakers or is it the Warriors?
Neither. Because for me to say close to a title, I'm actually implying that it's possible anytime soon. And I just don't see it. And unfortunately, you know, their star players are just getting older, right? They're 1 year closer to the end of their careers. I just don't see either of these teams making a real run at a title over the next couple of years.
You know, we talked about the Lakers, Warriors, 9th, 10th, respectively, in the West. And you do look at the standings here, each about 3 to 5 games behind the 6th seed to avoid that play-in tournament. Both are playing well heading here into the All-Star break. Of course, the Warriors, 8-2 in their last 10 games. Lakers, 7-3 in their last 10. So based off of that, Legs, who do you think is more likely to win a title out of these two teams? Is it the Warriors? Is it the Lakers?
I mean, I probably would say the Lakers if I'm forced to choose, because I think their style of play and the size that they have and the strength that they have in a playoff series, you could slow it down and you could sort of dominate physically through those two players. I probably would say the Lakers. I just don't think their roster is good enough to make a run through the West. And the Warriors, they've improved lately and they're showing some signs of life, and they're still a difficult team to play against because of their style and the shooting that they have and what Curry commands defensively, the attention he commands. But they're too small, and you see the problems they have repeatedly on the glass at important moments. Defensively, they're not quite the same team. You know, what you have to do to win the Western Conference now. I mean, you might have to get a team like Minnesota, Oklahoma City in the first round, potentially. Then you might have to make a run through the Clippers. Then you might have to make a run through the Phoenix Suns or the Dallas Mavericks, right? You think either one of those teams are equipped to do that? The Lakers are closer, but I just don't think either team can do it.
I know there a lot of buzz was when LeBron tweeted out that hourglass, basically saying, hey, look, y'all going to do something. Right. They want to know if he's going to be there next year. People think that he may leave. What do you think? Should they make another run with LeBron? Can they make a last run with LeBron, or are they wasting his final years, you think?
Well, I just think that, you know, it's going to be up to, you know, the Lakers and what they're able to do in the offseason. The fact that they didn't make a move at the trading deadline doesn't speak to the fact that they thought, oh, we're set. We like what we have. It's more about they didn't have the assets to go get the piece that they needed. That says a lot about their roster going forward. So are they wasting the final years of LeBron's career? I've said it for a long time. If LeBron James is on your team and you don't win a title in that year, it is a failed year. There's no other way to look at it when you've got a guy like LeBron James and what he's accomplished. So I think, look, can they reload in the summer? I don't know that they've got the assets to do that. Now, will LeBron want to play somewhere else? I'm not sure about that either, because he did everything he could to force his way to this organization and to this city. This is where he wanted to be, in this market with this organization. I don't know. I think LeBron sleeps well at night. I feel like his legacy is cemented. Yeah. Right? I don't think he's struggling anymore with that. I think he understands that. For some people, he'll never catch Jordan. He'll give him 4 more rings.
Yeah.
And I think he understands that's a faction of people. He's in that debate. He's comfortable. He sleeps well at night. He's done all he can to give to the game. And I think that means sometimes you're more accepting of the fact that, hey, you might not win a title going forward, but you're okay. You can live with that. LeBron might be there.
Maybe they think that he wants to play with Bronny next season, and that may be a decision here. I want you to stick around here. Right. We had to talk some football. NBA All-Star Weekend, folks. It begins tonight, 7 Eastern, Indianapolis, the Celebrity Game, ESPN, and the app. We got Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp. They are the head coaches. But let's head back over to the NFL, where the draft just over 2 months away. And in Phil Yates' first mock draft of the season, he's got the former Heisman Trophy winner, USC quarterback Caleb Williams. He's projected to be taken by the Bears with the top pick. In fact, overall, he has got 5 QBs going in the first round, including 1, 2, and 3 at the top of the draft. You see it there. Patriots getting Drake May. Commanders taking the current Heisman Trophy winner, Jaden Daniels. Since we got Legs with us, he's a Commander season ticket holder. It's Commander Tim. He joins us. Commander Tim.
You want me in that hole. Hey, you need me in that hole.
Do it. Hey, Brian, where was Deshaun Watson on that graphic?
Yeah.
Why don't you guys treat me with the respect I deserve? Look how decorated I am, man. Why don't you guys treat me with that kind of respect?
That is tremendous. That is a great job by our graphics people making that here. All right, so let me ask you here. Commander sit at number 2. Bart, do they need to go all in, go up and go get Caleb Williams?
I don't think so. I don't think you want to give up a king's ransom. I know it's only moving up one spot. But I think, you know, when you look at Chicago, they're going to be fielding offers from all over the place, and it gets into a bidding war when you never know who's going to be the better quarterback, right? You think, because sometimes you get lucky, you know, picking second sometimes, and it takes all the pressure off from taking the can't miss. There's no such thing as can't miss. We've seen Heisman Trophy winners come in the league and not perform. We've seen you identify the guy that best fits your system. And, you know, I think Jaden Daniels would be a fine choice. You know, and, you know, you talk about the ability to let him sit down and really develop. You have a great offensive coordinator that's adapting, bringing guys from college and making that transformation. I think Kingsbury kind of lived that life. You know, he's both a college guy and a pro guy, and he can come up with a simple offense for any quarterback that comes there. It could be a good situation.
But, you know, listen, a lot of fans want him.
And expectations aren't high in Washington either.
See, that's why you went and got Cliff Kingsbury, because you know he coached him there at USC. That is his guy. Make him comfortable. You want to be comfortable. A number of folks think you are not going to be a good quarterback when you go to Chicago. There's just something there when it comes to quarterbacks.
Just because no one ever has.
Exactly.
Jim McMahon.
Right.
Exactly.
Literally the only franchise in league history that's never had a 4,000-yard passing season from a quarterback. I mean, they are starved for it.
So the bar is low.
The bar is low.
That's what do you think, Tim? I mean, you've been a season ticket holder for 2 decades.
Should decades?
Should they be?
My family since the 60s.
No. Did you get a rebate?
Since the 60s. They ding me every year this time of year, man. That car gets charged every time.
And we're excited. Kingsbury's coming. Listen, it's going to win.
I'm the ultimate benefit of the doubt guy. I'm so hyped this time of year.
Two decades in the history of the franchise.
You think? Yeah, no. You think? 1991, Roz. Yeah. That's what we got to go back to.
Okay? I remember.
Hey, I had a hell of a childhood in my years through college. We were rolling. Mm-hmm. But it's been a drought.
Should they go all in? Should they go all in and go get Caleb?
Since there's no absolute consensus on this, I'm going to say no. I would get scared about giving up additional assets if the organization is not completely convinced that one guy is the guy. I don't think you do it.
You know, and Brian,
if they are.
One thing that's really interesting about the debate is, like, you try to normalize the data and you say, if we put Drake May in that USC offense with those weapons, what would that look like? If you put Caleb Williams at North Carolina, what would that look like? Caleb Williams is the better player, the better prospect, in my opinion. I think Drake May is clearly the number two guy.
Are we selling Jaden Daniels short?
No. The problem with Jaden Daniels to me is, like, and Brian, you covered some of his games. Yeah. He is thin. He went to Arizona State at 180 pounds. Mm-hmm. And to me, even though he's gotten bigger guys, can he go 10 years and go through the rigors of a 17-game regular season week in and week out? I love Jaden Daniels' talent. I think he's gotten a lot better. I would love to have him. I just don't think you could sit here, Bart, and say
how about this?
He's going to be a 17-game starter.
How about this? I want you to take a look at this. Cindy, if you can bring up this picture. Look, I did LSU in their bowl game here, and we did a couple.
Look how big he is.
Look, we're the same guy. Look at his build. We're basically the same. You're going to tell me I'm big, Mark.
But this is the thing, though. No. I'm talking about his height. Like, you can give him a gap year. You can give him a nutritionist. He can put 10 to 15 pounds on. I'm sure he's going to do that when he goes through the combine process. You have Sam Howell, the guy that you drafted before, that you don't have to rush him out there. You can give him a gap year. And when he's physically and mentally ready to play, he can play. But you can't deny the talent and what he's able to do.
What did we learn? Look, I love Bryce Young a year ago. I think Bryce Young is going to be a good player. But what did we learn last year? Bryce Young struggled. And look, Jaden Daniels is probably a little bit of a
better
athlete.
Lamar was skinny when he came in the league, too. Lamar was tiny.
No, Lamar was bigger than these guys.
Lamar was skinny. He's a lot shorter than Jaden Daniels.
I'm telling you, I scouted Lamar up close. Like, Lamar was bigger than these guys. Jalen Hurts bigger than these guys. Like, I'm just telling you, like, Bryce Young, he struggled in size. Jaden Daniels is just not a big frame player.
Washington fans would be a little bit reticent about another slightly built quarterback that wants to run a lot because of RG3, because of what happened to RG3. I'm just telling you, I think Washington fan base, they'd like to see a guy a little bit bigger.
Don't be surprised when he becomes the best player out of this draft.
I don't know. I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
My personal experience, if you can't put on weight in college, then you're going to have trouble doing it anywhere else.
Yeah. Nah, I was 100. Listen. No. that's a personal thing. You put on a freshman 15. Listen, he's not eating in the student center like you, though.
Right, exactly. All right, coming up here is the key to the Cowboys' future, a return to the past. One Cowboy legend sounds off on what is wrong in the Big D. But first, Graz here, and we got to put him to the trivia test. No Hembo here today, but we got Sneaky Darius here to stump Graz. The question for today is, we are talking about the draft. Which team has drafted first overall the most in the common draft era? Mm. We'll see if Graz can get the answer when we come back. Oh, he's pondering this. He's pondering this.
Who has been?
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All by myself on this Valentine's Day, but by no means alone. We got a blizzard, people.
Yes, we do. Mahomes kept making play after play play.
If only the other team had known that they had him.
I would have just got on a plane and went to an island somewhere
and absolutely stayed hammered for days.
I'm with you, man.
I want to win as much as the next guy, but I ain't going to shake my booty for you.
I was taken off of the chess team for being too unathletic. We all love Jeff Saturday, but to use his own words, he's high. Yes. He's on that good, good.
Yes. Chris Paul.
That's right. He got it. Right.
Score that one, a win for humanity.
Anytime Hembo loses, I'm happy.
He was preaching that gospel right there.
Davante Adams from the Raiders to the Jets.
Oh, you're singing my song. Now you are singing my song. Let's get Steph and LeBron together.
Hail to the now.
You're getting soft, Greeny.
I do not want to see that, Greeny.
Soft. S-A-W-F-T.
Greeny, I actually don't hate it.
Let's do it. Let's see it. Let's make it happen. Have their people call my people. I'll do everything in my power.
Love it. We have a lot of fun here on Get Up. Lots of laughs. And, of course, Graz trying to make it a great week for him. You know, he went 2-0 in trivia against Hembo this week. All right. So, but this time it is Sneaky Darius. Question for today. Which team has drafted first overall the most in the common draft era? That's the key.
I know that the teams that have picked first overall the most are the Colts and the Rams, but they're tied at 7.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that must have been before 1967, or this wouldn't be a single team answer. So it could be one of them. It could be the Colts or the Rams. It could be somebody else entirely. I'm going to guess the Rams.
You thinking the Rams?
Yeah.
The Rams is not the answer.
Oh.
How about the Buccaneers? You can forget about those years in the 70s. They were really bad.
And then 80s,
really bad. Yes.
Jameis Winston. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Really, really bad. No, you've got the Buccaneers, Patriots. Colts, Bills, Bengals, Browns. Mm. All of those teams.
Good question, Darius.
Yes, Sneaky Darius. All right, since we're talking about some things, time for time or right or wrong. All right, Dan, you're up first. Patrick Mahomes will win at least 5 rings. Is that right or is that wrong?
I'm going to say right. He's already got 3 and he's not even 30 years old yet. Seems to be in the right situation. Has shown an ability to win the ring even when he doesn't have his best possible team around him. I could see him getting 2 more. I'm going with right.
All right. We talked a lot about quarterbacks, Mike T. Kirk Cousins, best free agent available. Is that right or wrong?
Brian, that is wrong. Chris Jones is the best player. Did you guys see the Super Bowl? Chris Jones,
yes.
Outside of Patrick Mahomes, was dominant, 30 years old. He has passed Aaron Donald as the best defensive player in the game. Ooh. And if he would get out of Kansas City, he would do very well economically.
Okay, Bart, how about my Cowboys? Do they have a culture problem? Is that right? Is that wrong? You think?
I think that's right. I think like they're living off the reputation of Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith. And they have to get back to the basics, man, and understand that respect is earned and quit being so they're so sensitive, right? Mentally and emotionally weak, right? Like, they respond to everything, they hear everything, and they don't think that they should be getting the criticism, but, you know, year in and year out, we see the same result with a different cast. So if it's not the cast, it has to be the environment in which they are around, and, you know, they have to change that. And it's tough because who's created that environment are the people that own the team, the people that run the team, and they have to figure out what they're doing wrong to make your players so soft, man. They are like a bunch of kids in Black-ish born up in the suburbs, man. They need to take them back to the hood like Apollo Creed, you know, make them understand that, you know, respect is not given, it's earned. And they got to get dirty and muddy, man. Like, they are too, like, they find everything to blame but themselves.
Mm, that's interesting you say that because, you know, Cowboy Hall of Famer, boy, he went in on his former squad. Take a look at what Emmitt Smith had to say about these Cowboys. He said, nobody wants to fight no more. Nobody wants to fight hard anymore. They want to say, oh, we're the Cowboys. Tell me how good I am. Check out my Instagram posts. See me on my podcast. I'm doing all this stuff. I'm everything without doing anything. And everybody's patting them on the back. People want to give them so much without doing nothing. And what they're living off of is what happened in the past, not what's going down right now, Mike.
Yeah, podcast.
To the victor goes the spoils. And when you look at Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, they have lived a great life that they richly have earned and deserved. And I think what Emmitt is saying is the victor go the spoils. You have to earn it. You see it in the New York area with the all-time greats, the Derek Jeters, the Eli Mannings, the champions, they walk forever. And I think there is some really good wisdom here, which is like they have some great talented players, but we're trying to build a team and we're trying to build a culture of winning. And the best type of, Brian, I've been around a lot of teams, and I'm not saying because Bart's saying right here, the best type of leadership is the player-led leadership. It's the peer-to-peer accountability, and I think that's what Emmett is alluding to.
He said a lot without saying Michael Parsons, because you know that was one of the main guys he was talking about here. Give me your thoughts on this.
I mean, Emmett's kind of in his get-off-my-lawn phase, which is interesting as somebody who remembers how great a player he was. Look, I don't know who's patting them on the back. All I ever hear is people criticizing them, like even their own friends, right? Like even former Cowboys, family members of players on the team criticizing other players on the team. So I think there's a question to be asked about, you know, the internal locker room leadership and if it's there. And look, I'm not there every day. They come back on me and say, look, just because somebody's not rah-rah and yelling and screaming doesn't mean we don't have leaders. And that may be the case. But I do wonder... who on that roster, who in that locker room is the guy that kind of can whip people into shape when it needs to be done? And I'm just not sure they've had that over these last couple of years. Dak Prescott, not that kind of leader. Maybe he is a good leader, but he's not that kind of leader. And I do wonder if they benefit from something.
Do they have a guy, Bart, when you look in that locker room who looks in there and says, it's a big game, they say, hey, you better not be the reason that we lose this game. And they can say that to their teammates?
What I'm saying is I'm not in that locker room, but what I'm saying is the best teams that I've been around has that peer pressure. We have the standard. We live up to it. And it's not about just what you do on Sundays. It's about what you do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It was stuff, so much stuff never got the Rex, never got the Tannenbaum because we handled that in the locker room. It was so many things that happened out in the community, that happened at clubs, that happened places where guys like, no, we don't do that. Like we not about that. Who's somebody, and it's about being a leader, isn't about being popular. It's about having those uncomfortable conversations, right? When guys are starting to not get in line, right? You pull them back in, and if I got to fight, if we got to fight, then it's fine. I'm cool with that because that's what being a leader is all about, right? Holding you accountable and saying, listen, you're not about to mess this up for us, and if you don't get in line, you're going to have a problem with me. Right? Damn the coaches, because at the end of the day, coaches can coach as long as they want to. You know, I got a life expectancy. You're not about to ruin my time.
Yeah, obviously. They need something in that locker room. All right, first take, just moments away. Is Klay Thompson coming off the bench going to turn the Warriors season around? Stephen A., Molly, Tim Legler, Wendy, they will all debate, and that's next. Hey, Get Up is brought to you by Jimmy John's. It's the sandwich of sandwiches. Well, the UFC 298 is tomorrow. It's highlighted by the featherweight title main event. Then you got the main card that begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. Prelims, 8 Eastern, ESPN Deportes. Order in English, Spanish. Go to ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view. Man, it's been a great week.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Huh? Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
Welcome First to the real D.